Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, today is Dave and Bethley's weekly Q&A episode. So why don't you allow those many miles between you and the Youngs to fade away as they share their hearts and experiences with you, wherever you might be in the world.
Today, we're going to just take a little time to do some question answers.
All righty.
And we only have four or five here, but pretty decent question and answers that have come up lately. Or questions, and we're going to try to give it answers, actually.
It would be nice if people would just give us questions.
Just give us
the
answers, and we'll share your answers with your questions. Okay, let's get started. What do you do when you no longer feel that you're in love with each other? That's a loaded question, isn't it?
It really is. And of course, this would be talking about a married couple who have come to a place where their differences are so great that one or both of them feel that the love has been lost.
We know that love is essential because Paul told the church at Ephesus that husbands are to love their wives.
Yes.
And then isn't it Titus chapter 2 where he says that older ladies are to teach the younger ladies to love their husbands?
Yes.
So we know that love is an essential ingredient.
It is.
And the passage I always think of in answering that question is in the book of Revelation when John is writing, when Jesus is speaking literally to the seven churches of the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. The letter to the church at Ephesus is, it brings up this issue of love when he says, he said, I have it against you that you've left your first love. And then he tells them what to do about it. And it certainly applies to our marriages as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He said, first of all, you should repent. In other words, I would say if you're a husband listening and you don't feel like, you know, I just don't love my wife anymore, the Bible says, first of all, that you're sinning because you are commanded to love your wife. And it doesn't mean that you will right now, you know, you can repent today and feel all those warm, fuzzy feelings you felt the day you got married. Because love is a decision.
True.
Right? Love is a decision, and it's a decision that leads to actions. Mm-hmm. And so when I have stopped deciding and acting, then I need to repent.
Yes.
So it might be wise for you, if you're a lady or a man and things just aren't well in the marriage, just to get with God and say, God, I know I'm not right because I don't feel like I love my spouse anymore. Start with repentance.
Right.
And then the second thing he tells us is that we need to remember. And what do you think he means by that?
I would say remember why you loved that person in the first place. Sometimes we focus, I guess, so much on the negative, what we feel that they're doing wrongly or poorly or missing the mark in some way. We focus so much on that and we forget to focus on all of the good qualities and all of the things that we should be thankful for in our spouse.
Sure. And in any relationship, because we are both sinners, husbands and wives are two sinners married to each other. This does have potential for problems, but the fact of the matter is the reason you fell in love, if we can use maybe a worldly phrase there, or a phrase from the world, the reason we fell in love is because of all the things we focused on.
Yes.
We fell in love with the laugh and the behavior and the personality and all of those things. And then we get married and it does tend to result in negativity creeping into our life or we end up being critical in our spirit towards one another. We get our feelings hurt and we never deal with it.
Right.
And the result of that is that we are no longer in love. So we have to repent, first of all, handle it as a spiritual matter.
Yes.
I am not right and God, I'm sorry about that and you've got to help me.
Right.
And then I remember the way it used to be. And it might be good even to, as a couple, to stop and just talk and say, remember, let's just review what we were and why.
Yes.
Why did we go on that first date? And what did we like about that? And, and those months leading up to our engagement, what were we noticing? What made us get engaged? What made us say yes to one another?
Right.
So he does say to the church at Ephesus, repent. You've left your first love, so repent. Mm-hmm. And he says, remember from where you're fallen.
Yes.
And then he just simply says, and do the first works. In other words, you've got to fall in love all over again. And you've got to start doing the things that you invested, that made your marriage worth your staying with and jumping into and starting.
Right.
And that may be as simple as dating.
Right.
What other first works come to your mind when you think about marriage?
Well, a lot of times when we're first getting to know one another, we're finding interest in each other and using the word falling in love, that phrase, falling in love with each other. A lot of those times we're writing notes to each other. In today's world, we have technology. Now, when we fell in love with each other, we didn't have cell phones, but today you have cell phones. You can text and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, or I know you're going through a difficult time right now. I'm praying for you, or hey, I can't wait till you come home. I can't wait to see you. Yeah. So we can text, we can buy little gifts. Sometimes wives love little gifts. Sometimes it's not their love language, and so that won't really work with her. But if your wife loves little gifts or flowers, buy things for her. Or if your husband, he likes little gifts, or do things for them around the house. Hey, I got that. I'll take care of that. And so that's how we fell in love in the first place, because we were more cognizant of the other than we were of ourselves.
Absolutely. And we also learned in those early days, we fall in love because we speak to one another.
Yes.
And kind and gracious and flirty and
yes.
And positive ways.
Yes.
It seems like when we're dating, relationships often result in a person being on their best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we can get married and feel like we don't need to be on our best behavior.
Mm.
But the fact of the matter is, even when I'm married, I owe you kindness and,
yes.
and gratitude
mm-hmm.
and gentleness and we owe respect and all of those things.
Absolutely.
And so if you are one of those people and you just think, you know what, I just don't think we're in love anymore, the three pieces of advice we'll give you is repent
and then remember
what it used to be like.
Yes.
And that's probably not bad, or that's bad grammar, and it used to. Remember what it was like in days gone by, and then make sure you get started. You've got to go back to the positive statements to each other, the building one another, to the serving one another,
right.
the flirting, the doing things for one another, because love is a decision that results in actions that results in feelings.
True.
And if we can do those things, then that moves that right along. All right, what's the next question here?
The next question is, how do you help your teen to successfully navigate dating?
I always love this question because most people aren't prepared for my answer on that one. Just the culture we live in encourages teens to date.
Yes.
Of course, you know, they should date. They should be a little couple. They should, you know, it's so cute when, you know, he's got a little girlfriend or she's got a little boyfriend. But I would begin this answer. How do you help teens to successfully navigate dating by saying, you teach them to be just friends. Teach your kids to be just friends with those of the opposite gender unless they are ready and prepared for marriage.
Mm.
So an older teen may be ready for marriage. And that sounds so foreign to our culture, because we're okay with a teen dating when they're 19, but getting married when they're 19, we're like, are you serious? You're only 19. But if a kid at 18 can date, a kid at 18 can be married if they're prepared for marriage. And if they're not prepared for marriage, then why bother the dating game? They should be focused not on having fun little relationships. What they should be focused on is developing their life to the point where they can have a husband or a wife.
True.
You agree with that?
Yes.
And the book that is very influential in helping with that might be Carrie Schmidt's book called Just Friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good read for teenagers. So
yes.
If you got teenagers and you're starting to, you know, they're starting to show interest in that dating thing,
mm-hmm.
It might be good to let them read Just Friends. And,
yes.
You know, it's amazing because when teenagers are just friends, it takes a lot of pressure off of them.
Absolutely.
They don't feel like they have to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They can be friends with girls, be friends with guys, and even maybe have a dating situation. Like, you know, there may be an event, a banquet or something.
Right.
That it's okay to dress up and go, you know, choose someone to go with you.
Yes.
But by dating, we mean that exclusive relationship where they pair off,
mm-hmm.
they talk to each other exclusively, they
yes.
start developing feelings for one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will be very quick to say, think of it like this, moms and dads. We would be very quick to say that a 14-year-old is not ready to choose, in the words of our culture, as we look at the culture around us that's dealing with gender identity,
mm-hmm.
we would say they're too young to make decisions like that.
Right.
But then we treat them as if they're old enough to make decisions about who they're going to marry. And if we are Christians, we believe that marriage is a lifelong covenant commitment before God and the church and each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not ready for that. So discourage the dating thing. That's my answer.
Right. Well, most parents would say to that, they would be like, well, they're not going to marry them. They're just going to date them. So what would you say to that?
I would say to them, well, then why do we need to be in an exclusive relationship with someone of the opposite gender? There's danger in that because, number one, when they're exclusive, there tends to be, in our culture, an aloneness.
Yes.
And young people are at an age of their life where their emotions and their hormones are all over creation.
Yes.
That's the way God designed it to happen during the teen years. And to have that exclusive relationship at a time when they're struggling, a young man's trying to figure out what it means to be a man. And in the process, he's also trying to figure out how to deal with a girl. We know men who've been married for 20 years that are still trying to figure out how to deal with their wife as far as understand her, right?
Yes.
And we expect our young men to do that. So it's not that it's wrong. We celebrate. In fact, a dad at our church last night mentioned to me something about a young lady and his son. And I said, well, the positive thing about it is that he does like girls. And so we had a good laugh over that. And that is a positive thing. You know, we never told our sons, you know, you stay away from girls. We told our sons, be friends with girls, get to know them.
Right.
And observe them. Find out as you're getting to know friends who are girls.
Yes.
You know, what do you like in girls? What do you see that's positive? What do you see that's negative? What would you be looking for by based on the girls you're getting to know? What would you say? Boy, I don't want a girl that does that. Or I hope my wife will be different. Or I hope my wife will be like that.
Right.
So it is a time for growing. So don't focus a teen on dating, but focus a teen on preparing for marriage. And moms and dads, I'll tell you, that's something that you have to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk to your teen about.
Yes.
Because everything in the culture says, if you're 16, you've never had a date, then you're you know, something's really wrong with you. Right. And we've got to help our kids understand, no, that's a desirable quality because you're learning to be a man. You're learning to be a woman. You're learning to be godly. This is a time for growing, maturing, learning, expanding, and preparing for marriage.
Absolutely.
And so let's focus on that. So I would just say the answer, how do you help your teen to successfully navigate dating? Well, probably the easiest thing would just be to teach them to be just friends. And let Carrie Schmidt's book help you. It's called Just Friends. Our kids have all profited from that.
Yes.
Well, this is Michael Barnett. I do hope that this was a blessing to you. Well, Monday continues the discussion on raising boys to be men and girls to be ladies. So you have a great weekend and we'll see you then. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.